Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 12. And our passage that we'll be dealing with this morning are verses 14 through 21. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 14 through 21. Let us begin reading with verse 14. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him how they might destroy him. Then the Pharisees went out. That is after, as this chapter began, Jesus on the Sabbath day walking through the cornfields and his disciples plucking and eating. And they questioning him about his disciples working on the Sabbath day and him giving them a couple examples from their history that they would have known about, one concerning David and the other concerning the priest. David entered into the house of the Lord and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to do at any time, let alone on the Sabbath. That was bread for the priest. And the priests, they work on the Sabbath. And so Jesus was giving us an example, an illustration there, that works of necessity for the body are important. They have to be taken care of. Not only works of necessity, but also work about the holy. There's things that are holy, that work that needs to be done in the Lord's house on the Sabbath day, on the seventh. He then enters into their synagogue and he is posed the question whether it's lawful to heal on the Sabbath day. And Jesus said, it's better to show mercy than to sacrifice. And then he healed. Well, that didn't satisfy the Pharisees, them old self-righteous Pharisees. And they went out, according to verse 14, sought counsel against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, Jesus knew all things. He knew the thoughts of man's heart. Nothing was hid from him. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold, my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. And in his name, shall the Gentiles trust. In dealing with this passage this morning, the first point that we want to deal with is the extreme enmity of the Pharisees. And that's manifest itself in verse 14. The Pharisees were furious at the persuading evidences of the miracles that Jesus performed. In fact, in the book of Luke and in chapter 6, counterpart to this in verse 11, there said, and they were filled with madness. Those Pharisees, upon this occasion, they were filled with madness. That shows us that what they were filled with, the contempt that they were filled with. And so they went out and held a council. C-I-L. Against him, how they might destroy him. They were not only enraged by his miracles, which caused him to have more honor than they. You see, they were all about honor. They were all about getting honor unto themselves. Remember back in the Sermon on the Mount? That's why they let everybody know they were giving alms. Why they let everybody know they were praying. Why they let everybody know they were fasting. They were all about getting honor for themselves, but when one comes along and has more honor than they, that didn't sit well with them. They did not like that which he taught, that which he preached. They did not like him. They did not like his doctrine. He had been pointing out, that's what the Sermon on the Mount was, exposing them and saying that even you and I, our righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And he goes on to show how that it was external, but righteousness is that of the internal. And when it's internal, then the inside is clean, and the outside clean too will be clean. Necessarily to follow. And Jesus kept exposing them for who they were. And they took counsel. That is, they were united in close design how they might put him to death. That's what they were doing. They were seeking to have him tried and convicted and put to death. How they might best accomplish that. The book of Mark tells us on this counterpart that in chapter 3 and verse 6 that they took advice from the Herodians how they might kill him. Took advice from the Herodians. That's what that word counsel goes to seeking and meaning is advice from another. They were unified in that effort, in that endeavor. Verse 15 says that Jesus departed. He withdrew himself from thence. It simply means that he departed from that place. When he knew it, which he knew it, as they were doing it, he withdrew himself from that place. He departed from that place. It was not out of fear. No. No, not out of fear. He could have stayed and used his powers to have protected himself, delivered himself. That's what you and I would do, wouldn't it? If we possessed that power, well, that's what we would do. We would say, That's what you and I would do. Not Jesus. Not the one who was submitted, the lowly Jesus. It simply was not his time. And so he departed from thence. Well, he had just said something to the 12 when he sent them forth, had he not? In the 10th chapter, in verse 23, he said, but when they persecute you in this city, flee ye or depart into another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. Just if they persecute you in this city, then just go to another city and continue to preach the gospel. And Jesus himself did that. It be not being his time, he just departed and left from there. Jesus' departure did not mean that he was going on vacation. it's time for a little vacation. I'm going to go catch a breather here from this crowds and these angry Pharisees. No. Our verse tells us that great multitudes followed him. And he healed them all. Great multitudes. We're gonna look at what those multitudes were seeking. And he healed them all. All the great multitudes that followed him, he healed. They had a need. They had a need. And here was one who could supply their need. There's one among us today who can supply our need. He had just told them in chapter 9 and verse 12, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick need a physician. He said, then in verse 13, he said that he had came not to call the righteous to repentance, but to call sinners to repentance. John, the book of John in chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus said this, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Praise God. Praise God. All that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. The multitude, great multitudes came to him. They were in need. And here was one who could meet their need. And he did not cast them out. He healed them all. He healed them all. All who will come to him, he'll not cast you out. He'll heal you. He is the great physician. He healed them all. And in verse 16, he charges them. He charges them that they should not make him known. That seems kind of strange that they would not make him known. Well, I think here we can see an act of caution, maybe on his part. Oh, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? Christ would not leave off doing good, but with as little commotion as possible, he would continue on. without making much noise and without trying to draw attention to himself. It sounds like that he would be cautious. Wouldn't you be? Wouldn't I? Well, also we can see it as an act of equitable judgment. Equitable judgment. The Pharisees had rejected his mighty power, as well as his teaching and preaching. Well, what did he tell the 12 in chapter 10 about those who rejected the teaching and preaching, the preaching of the gospel? In chapter 10 and in verse 12 says, "And when ye come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet." Well, equitable justice, judgment. God, Jesus Christ, shaking the dust off his feet. They wouldn't receive him. They had rejected him. They were not worthy of him. Well, it can also be seen as an act of humility. Well, that makes sense too, doesn't it? An act of humility. His display of mighty power and his teaching and preaching were not to accomplish the applause of men. That's what he wasn't about, the applause of men. That was what the Pharisees and scribes were guilty of. Seeking the applause of men. Not Jesus. His purpose was that some in great need might see who he was and is and believe on him. But our text says that it was so that Scripture might be fulfilled. This came about so that Scripture might be fulfilled. That brings us to our third point, the fulfillment of Scripture in verse 17. The scripture referenced here is found in the book of Isaiah chapter 42 in verses 1 through 4. Let's turn there and read that this morning in the book of Isaiah, because it's just a little bit different in wording. It means the same thing as what we've read in our text, Isaiah chapter 42 in verses 1 through 4. "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles, or nations, shall wait for his law." Interesting. Jesus Christ was and is the fulfilling of all Scripture. Amen. Not just this passage of Scripture, but all of Scripture. And was at least in part
what he had in view, in mind, as he hung there on the cross of Calvary. In the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 30, when he said, "It is finished. It is finished." As he fulfilled Scripture, it showed him to be the one prophesied of, the Messiah, the one whom Matthew is trying to show as rightful heir to the throne, as the king. Spurgeon said this, "The power of the beloved servant of God would lie in the divine spirit, in the doctrine which he would teach, and in the law which he would proclaim, his whole life being a judging and condemnation of sin before the eyes of all men." And man in his natural state are like, just like the scribes and the Pharisees, they despise him for it. And we as the children of God and as saved and changed individuals, the world despises us too, because our life, which should bear forth Jesus Christ, is a condemnation to them and their sin. Well, in this passage of Scripture, in the fulfillment of this passage of Scripture, we see the gratification of the Father in verse 18. The gratification of the Father, the Christ, Jesus, was God's servant. We read in the book of Isaiah chapter 52. Isaiah chapter 52. And I preached a message here about 6 years ago now, from this verse. Isaiah 52 and verse 13. Said, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. My servant, Jesus, or God said. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 7, passage that we know well, he said, "But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men." He was the servant of God. He was the chosen of God. Isaiah said, "Mine elect." Well, that's what chosen means. He's elected. He was chosen. Mine elect. My chosen one. He was the chosen of God. He was the beloved of God. And the Father was well pleased with his Son. Yes. This was Jesus, the Christ, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer, and my God. We have in this prophecy, we have two promises given of the Father to his servant, to his Son. He said the Spirit of God would be upon him. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah again. Isaiah chapter 61. And would like to read verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Now, yes, these are words of Isaiah concerning himself, but they are also words, prophetic words of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, he said. And we read back there in Isaiah chapter 42, in those verses 1 through 4 there, my Spirit is upon him. God said, my Spirit is upon him. And so it is upon Jesus Christ. John, testifying of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples and telling them that he is the bridegroom. But in verse 34 of that same chapter, John chapter 3, he said, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. God giveth not the Spirit by measure. What's that mean? That means he's full of it. He's God. He's my God. He's my Savior. He's my Redeemer. He is God. We read in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's God. We read in the book of Colossians in chapter 2 and verse 9 that all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelleth in Him. He's full of God. He is God. Praise God. Praise God. Then he says, the purpose of the Lord shall prosper. The purpose of the Lord shall prosper. He shall show. He shall bring tidings. We read that in 61:1. Bring tidings. Speak tidings. Truth to the Gentiles. That's what has reference to. He'll bring truth to the Gentiles. You understand what Gentile are. Any nation that's not Israel is a Gentile. So all the nations, including Israel, he brought truth. He brought tidings. And he's bringing it to the Gentiles now. That was foreign to Israel. I mean, God was their God. He wasn't a God of the nations. He was their God, but now he's going to be God of the nations. As well, he's going to bring truth. It is the whole body of what God declares to be just and what God declares to be right. That it is that truth that he's bringing to the nations. Look with me at the book of Isaiah in chapter 51. Again, Isaiah in chapter 51, can't get away from Isaiah this morning, can we? Well, from chapter 40, the last, 26 chapters or 27 chapters of Isaiah dealing about with the Christ. But in chapter 51 and in verse 4, we read, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me, O my nation. For a law shall proceed from me, and I will make my judgment to rest for a light, I shall make my judgment to rest for a light of the people.
You see, the law and those, the gospel, the word of God, it goes forth, and to all that receive it, it is a light of the people. It is a light of them. It lightens them. You see, it shines
and brightly. And our text in this prophecy says it's going to be unto the Gentiles. You see, in Jesus, then shall the Gentiles, shall the nations trust.
As Isaiah 42 and verse 4 said, the isles, which is a term that is synonymous with nations, the nations shall trust.
Then in verses 19 and 20, we see prophecy of His gentle spirit. Oh, this is all what we ought to delight in. Oh, we ought to delight in everything about the Son of God. We ought to delight in everything about Jesus Christ. But He's of gentle spirit. He would not be a harsh, conquering prince. Oh, His first coming, you get, was He was a conquering prince, but not a harsh. And He wasn't conquering men, but He conquered Satan. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. But in His first coming, there was no harshness. And His second coming,
it will be in harshness. It will be in judgment, taking judgment upon the nations that have rejected Him.
You see? But not His first coming. Not at this time. No. The Messiah would be gentle and kind. And as we follow and have been following the works of Jesus in Matthew, but as you follow Him in Mark and Luke and John, that's what you find. The gentle and kind Jesus. He shall not carry on for outward show. That's there in this prophecy in verses 19 and 20. So He will not carry on a contest or rivalry or violence. He'll not strive. He'll not be loud and boisterous and doing for show. His business would not be carried out in harshness. Boy, we can learn from Him. He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me, for I am meek and lowly in spirit. Their state of those coming to Him is as a bruised reed and a smoking flax. Those that the Father hath given Him, those coming to Him, those new converts, all they're coming to Him as broken reeds and as a smoking flax. And He in His compassion and kindness will not break them or quench them. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? We see the compassion of Christ in this. Turn with me one more time to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 63. Isaiah 63 and verse 9, where we read, in all their afflictions, He was afflicted. Yeah, He was moved He was moved. Remember when you were afflicted? And when he moved in compassion and saved your poor soul?
And the angel of his presence saved them. See, that's what he's talking about. He's talking about when they're afflicted. He was moved to save them. And so we see in our text today, great multitudes came to him and he healed them all. He was moved and he saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. Praise God! He redeemed my soul. And he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Yes, he bore me up and he's carrying me all my days. He's carrying me. Praise God. He's compassionate
with me. All the good and success that flows out of him. He sends forth his gospel, his law, his word, his truth into their hearts. He teaches them truth. And they are being conformed into his image. You and I are being conformed into his image this morning. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. And then verse 21, it says, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust. Who? The nations. The nations. Not just Israel. Oh, the first coming to Israel rejected him. But he's not through with the remnant yet. He has an remnant, an elect remnant. And they're going to receive him. Now he's working with the nations. Those who are to the Israelites are Gentiles. In his name. I like that. In his name shall they trust. So Peter and John said, and testifying in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus said in John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. At the name of Jesus shall men